Welcome. It's Clary here, and I'm so excited for you to get to listen to this recording from a live masterclass I taught for our Evergreen Collective. We all know in our hearts that Christmas is about Christ coming to bring peace on earth. But when we have 100 things on the to-do list, it's really difficult to transpose the message of peace on earth to peace within. But that's what this masterclass is all about. How to maintain peace and cultivate it for those around you while still getting the things done you know you have to, showing up for the relationships that matter, and not letting the rest of your life fall into chaos in the process. It is possible. Our sense of peace is the greatest gift that we can give those we love this holiday season. And choosing to infuse a sense of peace into our holiday preparations speaks boldly to the world around us that the Prince of Peace has come, is coming, is present with us in each moment. So grab your cup of hot cocoa and let's dive in.
All right, awesome. Well, we are going to chat about holiday planning, but specifically how to cultivate peace with your holiday plan, because I think that that is something that we all want internally, but it's really hard to execute. Like we were just talking about, once you get into the throes of all that it takes to plan Christmas. So I was just looking this up, and we have 17 days until Thanksgiving. So raise your hand if you're hosting Thanksgiving. I am. And 49 days until Christmas. So it is a great time to talk about all of this. So probably even just getting on this call and hearing the words Christmas and Thanksgiving and planning and gifts and Advent and joy to the world, already your brain is probably firing about all the things that you hope that you can do with your family or friends, all the places that you wanted to go see, the events you didn't go to last year, the things that you've always wanted to get to that you just never seem to make happen. And so sometimes it can be this just vision that just comes into our brain. And for others of us, it can just be this rapid to-do list of you're thinking, oh my gosh, I have to find a gift for that aunt who's so hard to find a gift for every single year. And, you know, all of those things. And so it can sometimes be a vision and it can sometimes be a to-do list. And that's often where we start. But let's talk about where we need to start. And that is the fact that Christmas is about God with us. And just saying that, it changes the tone. That is what we are celebrating. I'm going to take a moment to just read the Canticle of Zechariah from Luke 1, which is one of my favorite passages that speaks to this. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That is what the holidays are about. And if we can keep our minds focused on that, it will change our outlook. It doesn't mean that the problems are all going to go away, but it changes our starting place. All the time, if you've hung out with us a lot, which all of you guys have, we talk about knowing your why. This is the biggest why you could ever have, right? God incarnate, he's coming. It's worth celebrating. It's natural that it makes us want to do all of the things, right? All of the things that come into our mind. We want to do them all because it is such a time worth celebrating. But the other thing that we talk about all the time around here is that you have to focus on what matters most. And that is what we are going to get to tonight in this conversation, is into the nitty-gritty of how do you take this concept of God with us, of peace on earth, and bringing it down to an internal peace that you can carry into the spaces that you go this holiday. Because that is actually the greatest gift that you can bring to the people around you, is who you are going to be this holiday season. And that doesn't mean you get to throw the to-do list out the window, even though that would be nice. You have to be able to execute and do the things that have to do while still being a person of peace and possible And we're going to talk about practically what that's going to look like tonight, of how to maintain that, how to get back to it when you lose that sense of peace, and how to let that be the greatest gift that you give people this holiday season. So we're going to talk about 5 tips to help you cultivate peace and avoid seasonal overwhelm, which is so easy to fall into. The first tip for cultivating peace amidst holiday to-dos is to declutter your brain, right? We talk about this all the time, but so often our source of stress comes from trying to hold it all in our heads and not taking the time to sit down and to get it all out on paper in a way that we can visualize it, and in a way that we can sort it and prioritize and do those things that we teach, you know, those time management skills that we teach through the challenge path and through the evergreen planning method. So you can't expect to have peace in your brain if you just have all these things firing that you're thinking about. So this is where the skills that many of you have already done taming your to-do list, those skills are going to come in handy here. And a couple of sort of holiday specific questions that you can add on to that process of taming your to-do list is to ask yourself the question, when I'm looking at all the things that I feel like I need to get done in the next 49 days before Christmas, what is important but not essential, right? Make a mark of that. What is fun, but not necessarily important? This is the one that always gets me, because I have all of these really fun Christmas ideas, these really fun crafts that I do want to do with the kids. And all of my holiday energy can be put into doing all of the really fun things to the neglect of maybe some of the more important critical things. And then later I'm stressed because those critical things didn't happen. So what absolutely has to happen? And if you can kind of categorize it in these ways, it helps you. I have done this in past years where I'll take my to-do list and I'll literally break it down to this absolutely has to happen. Okay. This is really important, but at the end of the day, it's not essential. Like, Christmas is going to happen without it. I'm not going to, you know, ruin any relationships or any of that. And then what is my list of really fun things that I really want to do that I can kind of have queued up so that as I have capacity, or I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a lot of these really essential things done, it's a great afternoon to hop into having the kids stamp our own wrapping paper that we're going to use for gifts, because that's something that I have a lot of fun doing with my kids, right? All of us are going to have our own version of that. Some of you cringed when I just said that activity, and that's fine. You're going to have your own version of that. But it's fun to sort of keep those queued up, but not get caught up in making those happen at the expense of the things that will cause stress for others. Because again, if you get to Christmas Eve and you haven't wrapped a single gift because you were waiting for your kids to stamp all the wrapping paper, you are going to be stressed, and that is going to bleed into your families, and nobody wants that. So that's kind of the way that when you declutter your brain, you can start to back it up and say, what actually matters here? So then you're going to set your brain dump aside for a moment after you've done some sorting and move into the second step, which is one that is, it's so helpful because, again, as we talk about all the time, when you are doing these practical planning, time management, when you're putting them into practice, it has to be personalized or it won't work. And that's what the second step is all about, which is to envision what you really want for this holiday season and Christmas specifically. A lot of times that's the bigger one that people get caught up on. So envision what you want for this Christmas. This is a great thing to do, to grab a cup of tea, right? Maybe even after we finish this chat, take 15 minutes. Doesn't normally take much longer than that. And to sit down and say, you know, what does my family need? What does my family want? You know, what do the other people, depending on who is sort of in your picture, if it's friends or extended family members, what do they want or need from me? And kind of to sort through those expectations and to really land on one word that you can center yourself around in order to come back to. And I'll make sure you guys get this list, but here are just some ideas that can be words that can really center what you're wanting your holidays, Christmas to be focused on, what you want it to feel like in your home, right? So peace, that's obviously what we've already talked about tonight, peaceful, reverent, calm, cozy, mindful, delightful, deep, warm, centered, focused, time together, anticipation, hopeful. Those are some different words that might resonate. And when you land on one, when you kind of get into these frenzied moments, which we'll talk about a little bit later, having that word and saying, oh, that's right, I wanted a reverent Christmas. And then you can kind of come back and say, okay, this thing that is causing me to lose my peace right now, is it essential to a reverent Christmas? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is going to be no, that you can still have a reverent Christmas, or whatever your word is, a peaceful, a hopeful, a delightful Christmas, without accomplishing maybe what you originally set out to accomplish that you're now feeling frustrated over. Now, this is a great time to say that if you're married, you can't just do this in your own head and then expect your husband to just get on board, right? So you have to have a conversation and say, like, hey, this Christmas, I really wanted us to have just a calm Christmas. That's what I want our home to feel like. Talk about expectations. You know, my husband and I are very different about who wants to leave the house more and who wants to stay home more, right? And who wants to go and do all the things out and about and who wants to do all the crafts at home, right? And so when we have conversations about that early on and we say, hey, this is what we want for this Christmas together, and maybe we pick that word together, or we at least get on the same page, you know, in terms of our expectations, then it's easy to say, hey, you know, this event is happening in town. Do we want to do that or not? And we've already had this other conversation about what we want Christmas to be about, to then navigate, navigate kind of what we plan to do. And so then you're going to take that vision and you're going to be practically applying it to your planning. And of course, doing it in your own unique style. Everyone is going to have a different Christmas because we each have different households. We each have different things that we want to focus on. And even season to season and year to year, you can have very different kind of ways that you approach even the same season. And so that is something else that you have to really think about, is what is this season of Christmas specifically? What does it need? Last year, for instance, our Christmas was very focused on extended family members because of some different difficult circumstances. And we didn't put a whole lot of emphasis on, you know, we're doing our Christmas at home and this is like our focus this year. It wasn't the year for that. It was the year for giving externally. That's not going to be every year. This year is a much more internally focused internally focused on our family kind of Christmas. I can tell that's what our family needs. We need it to be slow. We need it to be calm with the kids. I know that they're going to love like certain activities that we're thinking about doing. And so even I think having that expectation that, you know, Christmases can be different. Some traditions you're going to do every single year. Other times you're going to go ice skating in the park and that's going to be a one-time thing and it's not going to be every year, and that is okay. And so asking yourself those questions, are you ready and excited to take on hosting all of your extended family and kind of going full out, or are you going to do a more simplified version, right? I've done both and they both work, and you have to just figure out what's going to work for this year. Do your kids want to be out and about and do family adventures? Is that just going to fill their cup? Or do they need like read alouds by the fire in the evening and early bedtimes because that's the season that you need, right? So discerning all of those things as you're sort of envisioning your what you're thinking about for your Christmas. So it's kind of a word that can really be helpful. And then thinking through some of those practical questions of what does my family need? You know, my immediate family, my extended family, or my friends. You know, sometimes there are events where you are very outward focused in inviting other people who are non-family members into your home. And so that's that is tip number two, is to have that vision of your Christmas early on, so that as you navigate the practical planning, you can kind of pull yourself back to like, this is what I'm headed towards. The third tip that we talk about is something that, again, is not unlike all the other things that we talk about in time management here at Evergreen, but that is continually and ruthlessly cutting the non-essential. This tip number three is going to be the primary way that you maintain your peace from now through January, right? Through the end of Christmas. Because constantly what's going to happen is that there are going to be different things that ping at us, whether it comes from social media or a friend who texts us or our own awesome creativity that explodes during the holidays or, you know, family members. I mean, constantly church events, it's just things are going to be pinging at us constantly, whether it's coming from internal or external sources. And it's going to be our job to navigate, is this going to be a part of what helps me get to the Christmas that I have envisioned for my family? And so if you find out that your church is hosting this really fun bazaar and there's going to be games and gifts and da da da, and that's the same, you know, maybe the same day that you plan something as a family, or maybe it doesn't even conflict in a schedule way, but it's just another thing to add to the schedule. Having that vision and being able to say, that's not the essential thing in this season for my family. That is going to be your role. And that is going to be the primary way, again, that you maintain your peace, is by focusing on the things that matters. And so it's not, you know, diving into every single Christmas tradition, every single activity, every single opportunity that comes your way is not going to give you a peaceful Christmas. It is going to create a sense of chaos because you're going to be pinging between all these different things. But being able to take those things in and, again, bring it back to that vision and say, okay, does this align? Do I have space to do this and still get those essential things done on my, you know, that I made that list of, the brain dump at the beginning? Asking those questions is going to help you kind of stay in that center path towards what you're aiming at, which is to be at your Christmas Eve service, right? Singing Joy to the World and feeling it, right? That's what you're headed towards. I mean, we have all been at those services and being like, come on, Lord, here I am. Like, get me here mentally, right? And it's all this work that we do up through the month of December that will enable us, that even if it takes all of Christmas Eve for us to transition out of go mode into abide mode, we can do it because we've done the work beforehand. I gave a couple examples of how to kind of navigate that with externals. I want to talk a little bit too about how to navigate that with internal expectations, because sometimes those get us even more than the external ones. And you kind of have to know yourself, because depending on how close you live to family or even your family dynamics or your friend dynamics, sometimes the external ones don't get you at all or aren't even really a factor. And sometimes it's all the internal ones. And so I remember Shelby gave a great example a couple of years ago that if you're hosting your family and your vision is just to have a festive and delicious Christmas dinner, right? Then baking 12 different kinds of cookies really adds very minimally to that. It's not going to do anything more to make your family feel welcome. It's not going to do anything more to make your Christmas dinner more delicious than one cookie would have. And in fact, the stress of trying to make 12 different kinds of cookies or decorate every single cookie could do the opposite of that, which is to pull your focus away from the people in your home and towards something that's not even going to be around tomorrow, right? Which is cookies. And so that's just an example where sometimes we will see something flash across Instagram or flash across Pinterest and be like, oh my gosh, they're adorable. I need to do it. You know, even just today, my sister is visiting and she is crocheting this adorable crocheted snowflake garland for her home. And it's the cutest thing ever. And I had this moment in my brain where I was like, I could learn to crochet and crochet myself a garland in the next 30 days. I absolutely could. And it would be awesome. And a moment later, I just went, no, like, you know, at the expense of what? At the expense of the handmade Christmas gifts I already have started and planned that I know wouldn't get finished, you know, at the expense of work priorities that I've already committed to, right? So could I? Yeah, I absolutely could. But I can in that moment, because I've already started to do the work, you know, sort of test and weigh the balance of saying, is that actually worth it? And the answer is no. And you know what? I might do it another year or I might not. And that's fine. But I'm definitely someone who can get more tripped up by my own internal ideas. It's really funny because we talk a lot here about our different productivity personalities. And when it comes to just general productivity, I am not a visionary at all. But when it comes to handcrafts and to Christmas and doing those things, that is where my visionary side just explodes. And so a lot of this is just, again, it's knowing yourself. Sometimes it's really good to be stretched into new things, like doing things with your children that are just going to be messy, right? And be different than doing it on your own. And that can be a great way to just lean into that Christmas time of decorating the cookies with the kids. You know, that is a great use of that energy, whereas trying to make the most beautiful Christmas cookies when that doesn't actually align with your ultimate vision is only going to add some chaos. So the job is to ruthlessly edit your to-do list and your commitments so that you can show up for what really matters to you and to your family in this Christmas season. So the fourth tip that I'm going to jump into is how to anchor your holiday celebrations to existing rhythms. So one of the reasons that the holiday season can be so tricky is because so many of our normal rhythms go out the window, right? We travel, or if you homeschool, your school gets all wonky because you have people visiting, or if your kids are in school, school gets wonky because you get out these random days and they have to wear pajamas on days, and you've got to bring cookies on days, right? So everyone has their version of that. If you're working, the same thing. I mean, the amount of work parties that happen over the holidays is just mind-boggling sometimes. My husband now works from home, but when we lived closer to his office, it was like this event and now this event, and navigating, you know, how to handle those expectations when it's your boss and all of that stuff. So again, it's these kind of external or internal things that are coming with you, but our rhythms get a little bit out of whack. And so the key again is going to be honing in on those rhythms that are going to stick. Okay. Meal times, getting up, commutes, you know, assuming that you're still working some normal hours and all of that. And so if you have these ideas for things that you're wanting to do, to help celebrate the season, whether it's Advent things or other Christmas preparation things, or even just honing into celebrating Christmas, books you want to read with your kids, finding a way to anchor those new holiday ideas to existing rhythms will keep it from feeling like you're throwing your family into absolute chaos. And so an example of this that my husband and I did a couple of years ago is we had, you know, we wanted to have these really special times as a family where we could just sink into the season and do different things like go get our Christmas tree and get hot chocolate and go around and drive around and see holiday lights, you know, just some of the normal, simple traditions that we wanted to kind of start up with our kids. But we also knew that if we just sort of said, you know, here's our bucket list and let's try to get it done in the next 30 days, that that wouldn't go well. And also with him, you know, he was commuting at the time. And so he got home really late in the evenings. And so we basically landed that Sundays were going to be, they were already family days. And so we thought, let's just do those things and kind of batch them. So we'll get hot chocolate and do our Christmas tree one Sunday. And then the next Sunday, we'll drive around and do lights and get out and walk in the cute little downtown. You know, we kind of planned these on days that were already our family days so that other normal rhythms and things that had to happen around the house didn't just go by the wayside. And so that we could still really lean in and have the time to do these really fun things that, you know, kind of take some planning, because if you give three children under the age of four hot chocolate, it takes some managing. So to kind of for us to have the capacity to do that, and it worked so well because every Sunday were just these fun, just Christmas filled days with our family. But we weren't, it didn't mean that every single evening that we were out trying to do something Christmas related and then, you know, exhausting ourselves before Christmas even started. And so that is another thing to think about. If you're wanting to read Christmas books to your kids, okay, what are the times of days that you're already all gathered together? Or do you already have a time in the day that you read to your kids and you can simply, you know, sub out the material, as it were? And of course, you know, there's there's going to be things that you do throughout, like seasonal music. We have an Advent reading that we do. We kind of switch it out, you know, decorating your house. All of those things can kind of fall into your normal rhythms, but especially those bigger things that you're trying to plan, like this is one of the things I want to do this year. Anchoring those to days that are kind of already family days, and you won't have to pivot as much back into your like, now I got to get home and get everyone in bed, if you can kind of fit those into the rhythms that you're already working with. And that helps mitigate that feeling of being just run ragged when you get to the end of December. And of course, like we said, lining those things up with sort of the vision that you've already cast for your family. So the final tip before we get into a bonus tip that we have is, and this is actually one of my personal favorites, is at the end or kind of throughout December, you can do this different ways depending on how you use your planner. But one of the things I love to do is throughout the month of December, and if I don't get to it then at the end of December, I make myself do it, which is to take notes for yourself and to stick them in your planner. And so I actually, I have hardly decorated my annual at all this year because it's just been one of those years. But last January, I completely filled in December for this year with some notes and different things you can see that are pinned here. And I have others throughout the November and October because I realized one of my biggest takeaways from last year was that there were certain things that if I wanted to happen in Christmas, I had to back them up and start thinking about them in October. And so I literally wrote notes to myself that I stuck in my annual in October, in November, and then in December, that were basically like, here's what went well. Here's what didn't go well. Here's what I would do differently next year. I'm ready to move on from this Advent devotional we've done for 2 years and find something new. You know, and all of those thoughts that I was feeling at the end of December, because the thing is, no matter how well you plan, the way that we idealize what we envision our Christmas to be, it's not going to come to full fruition. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And that's not anything we should feel shame about. Mostly it's because we're not in control, right? But at the end of December, or whenever I'm sort of having that feeling of like, I just wanted this to go differently, or dang it, if I had thought about this X, you know, in that month, then I could have done something about it, but it's too late now. Anytime I had that thought, I would jot it down in my classic booklet. And then I sort of had a compilation of these notes that at the end of the year, I just made these like ping pong notes, you know, just bullet point lists and said, hey, this, 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 and this. You know, normally it's like anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen, really small things most of the time. And I just said, and, you know, like, so for instance, the first year that we kind of anchored all our habits to Sundays, that was one that I was like, this worked so well, do this again. And don't forget this 12 months from now, you know, and then other things that, you know, I've been sort of in the back of my mind writing a family devotional for the 12 days of Christmas over the last few years. And I haven't ever actually written it down. And that's one that I wrote down in October that was like, hey, if you want to do this, you got to work on it now, because we all know what November and December are like. So just little notes like that. And to sit down and really, I think it's helpful to journal out kind of in long form, if that fits your personality, of like, how did I feel this year? But then to take from that and glean, here are the notes that I would write to myself a year from now. And it's so funny because every year, you know, January comes around and I'm like, oh, I still need to go down and really synthesize that list so I have it well. And I'm like, am I going to do this? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And you sort of feel silly writing to yourself a year later. You're like, it's 12 months away. I literally just finished Christmas. I can't even imagine being back there. And then it's like you turn around twice and it's November again. And then there's that list waiting for you that said, hey, these things went so well. These things, not so much, you know, and so having that list and saying like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to stick it in my annual for next year. And it's going to sit there in a paperclip for 10 months. And then on month 11, I'm going to be hugging my, you know, past self and being so thankful that I thought to write all of these things down, because it's amazing how much you'll think, I will never forget how terribly it went when we tried to take all the children ice skating. It went terribly. And then, you know, 11 months later, you're like, honey, should we take all the children ice skating? You know, it's just like, that's what our brains do. We fall back into these habits. habits or whatever it is. And so having those notes to yourself is going to be such a gift. And so whether you work on it throughout the month of December, as things come to mind, and you just have a little, you know, little pad of paper that you're then going to throw in your annual, or whether you take the time to at the very end kind of reflect or do a little bit of both, those are some things that I have found extremely helpful. And again, you'll just be amazed at how fast the months go by and you're back in the same place and you're ready to start your planning again. And you have all of these essentially pro tip list for your specific life from your specific self to help you as you dive in. I do have one kind of bonus tip that I want to get into, but I wanted to pause and just see whether we had any questions or whether Shelby or Macaulay, you guys wanted to add anything just to that conversation.
But I absolutely adored, Clary, that last one. And you said it before, but hearing you like explain it the way you did of like pro tips for next year, I'm like literally already sitting here going, oh my gosh, why did I not listen to Clary tell me this last year? Because I didn't get a new Advent devotional like I was really wanting to do. And I still have time, but I have to think about it and research it. And it feels a lot more stressful to do that right now versus in like September, October, when it's a little bit easier to really think about it, really click through and read through all the reviews, because I don't feel like I'm in a rush. And for something like that, that's really important to me to really dig in and find something that will be a winner for our family, because we haven't found one yet. And so like to actually do that ahead of time, especially with our jobs as mamas, and, you know, even if we're not mamas, just being able to be women who are gathering people around in our home and cultivating life through our home or through even the interactions that we have, being able to slow down and think about that ahead of time, not in a rush, not always feeling behind or like we wish we'd have been more prepared, but being able to do that ahead of time so that we can walk prayerfully into these different situations, even if it's in, like from, you know, your kids, morning basket, like you said, Advent devotional, sitting around, you know, with your grandkids or wherever around the Christmas tree, or if you're walking into an office party and going, I really want to be a light for Christ right now, but my brain's not even filled with why we're actually here celebrating Christmas because I've been so busy. Being able to just be prepared, walking into those things because you've taken the time to think, declutter your mind, like you said, and then pray about all these things in a slow state instead of in a catch-up state. How different will we be in bearing God's image in these different opportunities that we have to reflect this reality? Like, yes, Christmas is about God with us, like you said, and our job as image bearers is to reflect that reality constantly in these different situations. I mean, office Christmas party, they're literally there, regardless of if they say they're believers, they are there because Christ came, and that is what's being celebrated. What an opportunity, and how important for the Christians in that room to be 110% locked into that reality. But we can't do that if we're not prepared. People, we can't do that for the people that God has called us to minister to. So in that, time management, productivity is not just a nice to have, but really essential, I think, to our ministry in whatever context God has us.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think especially with where Christmas is at in our culture, that when people see someone thoughtfully approaching something with way more intention than they've ever seen before, it does stop them in their tracks. And I think that even just that, you know, being in that moment, and, you know, everyone, I feel like it becomes a thing where you know, everyone just talks about how stressed they are around Christmas. And that's so understandable because there's so much to do, right? So it's not like, oh, we don't feel stressed around here because we embrace God's peace, right? It's not that. No, it's that in every moment we are choosing to get back to that. And I think that that can be one of the greatest lights, that even just in those casual conversations, you know, when everyone is just talking about Christmas, there are so many more open doors at this time of year, and it's hard to even see those opportunities if we are just feeling, you know, stressed and overwhelmed by the holidays. So that is such a great point. All right. Well, that's actually a great segue into kind of a bonus tip, which is that you are going to have moments where you feel stressed and overwhelmed because it's a season where you have a lot to do, right? And so the goal here is not that you've listened to this conversation and now you're just going to hang up and just, you know, be Cindy Lou Who magically flitting through the rest of your Christmas season, bringing Christmas cheer, right? It's not going to be that easy. It's going to take real work and intention. And so the bonus tip is to cultivate a practice of taking stillness moments. Okay. So when you feel your stress rising, right? And we all know what that feels like. Like you start to sweat, you start to squirm, you start to just kind of want to walk away when things are getting like, you know, messy. So when you feel those stresses rising, don't try to just push them away and don't try to just push through the moment, but really pause and say, these are the moments. Like this is the moment where I'm going to fight for my peace, right? So take a deep breath, go back to remembering our why, right? That Christ's light is shining upon the world in a way that it doesn't at any other point in the year. So focus in on that. And there's a lot of really tangible ways that you can sort of bring that to bear, whether it's, you know, putting on a Christmas hymn, lighting a candle, you know, to sort of break away from that feeling of like, I'm going to settle down and I will think about Christmas on Christmas Eve, right? Don't fall into that trap. Think about it right now, right? Take the moment right now. And to think about how, yes, Christ came as a baby, right? That's what we're celebrating. But he also is the Christ who asked us to cast our cares upon him, right? So that is the same God, the God who has said that his yoke is not too heavy, that he bears our burdens, that we can take them to him. And so he's not worried if you forgot to order your Advent devotion, right? He's not stressed about that at all, right? He's got that. And so taking a moment to say, like, I'm not going to let that steal my peace, whatever that is. And take a drink of water, make a cup of tea, right? Get the kids settled, stamping Christmas paper. I mean, you know, just buy yourself a moment. Don't get on Instagram and don't get on social media, but just set a timer for 5 minutes. Play your favorite Christmas hymn. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and think about the God who is with us. Think about that canticle from Zechariah about how God comes in flesh and blood, and he walked on the same world that we are walking in to bring us peace, right? To bring us salvation. And having that practice of like, I'm going to sit here and anchor myself back to why this season matters. I think was it John Wesley's mother who used to put her apron over her head every time she prayed, right? I mean, if you have to do that, do that. Your kids will be quiet because they will be so astounded at how you are acting, right? If you're at work, walk out of the room for a minute, go take a bathroom break, walk down the hallway. You know, if you're out and about and the buzz of Christmas just gets you, go back to your car, take a moment as you're doing all your gift shopping and just say, this is what I'm focusing on. This is where the source of my peace comes from. And this is greater than whatever it is in the moment that is stressing me out. And if you can master that again and again and again, probably every day until we get to Christmas, you will be the light to the people around you. And you will bring that essence of peace that you crave to the people around you. And you will feel it in your heart too, because you are continually coming back to, why does this matter? What is this all about? You know, who am I here for? Who is here for me? You know, and that is God with us, Emmanuel.
If you loved this peace-infused approach to time management, don't let it fall away after the holidays. Take this mindset to every part of your life with our Renew January 2024 e-course experience. You will learn a practical Christian approach to time management in just 6 weeks by understanding your God-given productivity personality, developing a strong planning habit, decluttering and organizing your task list, designing life-giving weekly rhythms, mastering the art of flexible time blocking, and learning the basics of setting rooted goals. Renew includes all the planner printables you need and a vibrant community on a private platform ready to help you succeed. Are you ready to change your life with the Evergreen Planning Method? You'll love Renew. All you have to do is go to www.evergreenplanner.com/renew or check the show notes for all the details. I can't wait to see you there.